Well, good morning, everyone. Darren Saul here, your host of Saul Searching, the Saul Recruitment Podcast. It's episode 35, and it's going to be a fantastic show. Back by popular demand, I have a special guest, Karen Tisdell. Karen's been on the show many, many times and always provides us with incredible value. Now, for everybody who doesn't know Karen, and there wouldn't be many of you, Karen Tisdell has been writing LinkedIn profiles and coaching people on using LinkedIn strategy for over a decade. In 2019 and 2018, Karen was ranked by the SMMI as one of the top LinkedIn trainers across the Asia Pacific region. She's fantastic. And today we're going to be chatting about the underestimated power of LinkedIn for recruiters and for job seekers. So Karen, welcome to the show.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. So I think that was my original bio going back a couple of years ago now.
Oh, probably.
And I just have to say, I didn't rank last year, 2020 or 2021, only because SMMI have stopped ranking LinkedIn trainers. So,
Why they did that?
I don't know. Maybe because there's quite a lot of LinkedIn trainers. Okay. So I think a lot of LinkedIn trainers have popped up in the last couple of years. I think since hybrid working, I think the world's changed. And I think people are seeing the need for LinkedIn a lot more. But it also means that I think, you know, we're going to add even more value to your listeners today because there's so much. And so much has changed since we spoke last. So
it has. And LinkedIn is just becoming an absolute superpower. LinkedIn is growing from strength to strength. Anybody who's on social media and wants to seriously use it for brand building, you have to be on LinkedIn. There's just no two ways about it. But before we get into it, I just thought for people that don't know you, just maybe give us a little snapshot into you, you know, your story and why you love LinkedIn so much, why you do what you do.
Well, I'm a former recruiter, remember? So yes. 14 and a half years recruiting. So I started recruiting way back in the 1990s when we were literally like, you know, advertising in the newspaper when
That's
I first
right.
started.
We were using faxes back then.
We were using faxes. We had paperclip folders. You know, it was just, we were driving past, we thought we were really sophisticated when we had with us like a little voice recording thing, and we would go to a sandwich board, like an office or whatever, and we'd write down all the names of the companies. So recruiting way back when, did that for 14 and a half years, went on maternity leave when the GFC hit, and I started writing LinkedIn profiles while I was on maternity leave. And that was 12 and a half years ago now. So, so I was one of the first to really have a business that was around LinkedIn. And it's just, boomed and boomed. And so I've been writing profiles now, forever, since 2008. I've been writing profiles, and since 2014, been training teams. So it's certainly grown a lot.
That's something that's really impressive on your part, Karen, because you really saw LinkedIn and the future of LinkedIn when it was really just beginning. And you thought, all right, there's something here.
Yeah, I did. And I don't know how people didn't sort of see it at the time. You know, for me, I was really lucky to be working at Chandler McLeod Recruitment at the time. Yeah. We had an incredible CEO, Luke Henningsen, and he was he came from a search executive retained background. And so he was like, there's this amazing tool, LinkedIn. And it just blew my mind, the fact that I could find people on here and then that I could reverse engineer my sales success.
Definitely.
Because recruitment is all about finding the right people and finding clients. You can have an amazing job seekers and candidates, but that's not great if you don't have job vacancies. I could find clients by not sort of saying to people, oh, do you know somebody who's in this company, but by looking on LinkedIn, and I could reverse engineer my sales success.
That's right. So you could go in, you could find the exact manager you needed to talk to. It was incredibly powerful. And it
is incredibly powerful, especially when you have to sort of think this was the early days of the internet. So that's it was just amazing. And I also realized that how we show up online is a little bit like how we show up in a job interview. Mm-hmm. And I think that the reason why LinkedIn has boomed in recent years, especially with, you know, lockdowns and hybrid working and stuff like that, is we're not always meeting people face to face. We're not always going to those networking events. We're not always having face to face interviews. Yeah. So having a really great LinkedIn profile is an opportunity to influence. Yeah. It's how you show up.
Yep, definitely. It is how you show up. So let's chat about LinkedIn. Obviously, you've been on the show a few times, but a lot's probably changed since you were on the show last time. And I think there's been something like 25 new features on LinkedIn. So I'm not going to get into every one of them, but gearing this episode particularly to recruiters and to job seekers, let's start with recruiters or hiring managers. What do you think are the more important features that are new for that subsection of the industry?
There are so many. Providing services should be one of the most exciting new features that is still evolving on LinkedIn. Yep. And providing services, if you haven't got it, it's under the open to. So you've got an open to work tab, but you've also got an open to. And when you click on that, you can add providing services. Unfortunately, talent and recruitment or recruiting, it doesn't show as one of the providing services.
Which is strange. Why would that be?
But I think I've got a client of mine who does merchandising. Like, merchandising is one of the oldest industries around, yep, right? Yep. Like, everybody knows what merchandising is. He sells merchandise. Yep. There is no listing for merchandise or promotional products or anything. So, so it's a very rudimentary list. Yep. But I think it's worth recruiters keeping an eye on that section. Even if they create providing services and they list themselves as management consultants and they just go and check back occasionally and see if LinkedIn has broadened it, because providing services is moving towards becoming an Airtasker. And
right.
Yes, how exciting is that, Des? Wow. So, yeah, so that's where we're going to. So it's predicted, and we don't have a time frame on this, that LinkedIn will enable us to take payments and make payments and have bookings. And they've just added a review section to that as well. So we're really moving towards what LinkedIn are calling a marketplace for businesses. So I think that's really just amazing for recruiters. So even though you don't have recruitment and you don't have talent, please add providing services. If you don't have that open to bar in your profile, when you're looking at a profile and you can't see open to, please do find me on LinkedIn and send me a message, and I'll just message you back with a QR code that'll help you to unlock that section, because there will be about 12% of the population who don't have that. So I think that's an amazing feature. Yep. For job seekers, I think it's cover story.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, how cool is the cover story?
So true. So, I love that. Yep.
It's really great. And so this is... a cover story is, if you just get your mobile phone, so don't look at LinkedIn on desktop, get your mobile phone and click on your profile and then click on your photo, and you'll have a little orange plus button there. And when you depress that orange plus button, you can record a video of yourself for 30 seconds, speaking for 30 seconds. So it's where you can upload a video where you're talking about who you are, what your skills are, what problems you solve, you know, and your expertise, your qualifications. And I think that's really exciting, because it's an opportunity for you to shake somebody's hand. You know, it's an opportunity before you meet them, you know?
Absolutely. And I've had a look at your cover story and I love it. You've got a lovely background.
Oh, mine is awful.
It's great.
Mine is awful, Daz. And I've kept mine up there as an example of what to have on your cover story. So I filmed mine horizontal, like landscape, and it should be filmed vertical.
Oh, is that right?
Audio quality is awful. I've got no call to action. I've got a beautiful view, though. I was in Sydney and I was all frocked up for my 10-year-old's It's a great view. So I kind of thought, oh, I hate myself on video. I know I'll have this really great background, but I didn't think about what I was going to say. I didn't, you know, I didn't have a call to action. I didn't rehearse it enough. So, and I didn't use all my 30 seconds, and I filmed it landscape, and it should have been filmed, you know, the portrait mode. So please, everybody, have a look at my Videos cover story as an example of what not to do. You can view it on desktop or you can view it on mobile, but you can only record it on mobile. My favorite one is Gillian Kelly. So have a look at, do you know Gillian Kelly? Gillian,
I've heard of Gillian Kelly.
Gillian Kelly. She's a career coach. Her cover story is fantastic because she talks about the different things she does. So even though she's talking about it from a business perspective, I think if job seekers look at that and they can rattle off, you know, their job titles and some of their skills, qualifications, and then they've got a really warm conversational tone. Like so hers true. Just, it feels like you're talking to a friend.
Yep.
While mine, again, my tone is not right. It sounds like I'm on a stage. So mine is an example of what not to do.
But, you know, anything is better than nothing, I think, when it comes to a cover story, as long as it's, you know, articulate and it shows a bit of energy and it shows a bit of personality, because it's so much more than just, you know, all this text. It actually gives people an insight into who you are as a person, who's behind the scenes. And I think it's so powerful. And I, for job seekers, I think brilliant. I think it's such an important tool and it should be prepared and rehearsed and then executed well.
Absolutely. And you can always have a couple of post-it notes. So I've worked with a client who created her own cover story, and you can see that her eyes are flicking to, you know, slightly off camera to read it, but she's got a smile in her voice.
Nice.
You know, so I think, you know, if you've got a couple of post-it notes, you know, you don't have to look perfect. Even if you're not very articulate, it's still better than not seeing anything. You know, we really get a feeling for people when we can hear their voice and we can see their face.
Definitely. And I think just as important for recruiters, I think, you know, all recruiters should also have a great cover story. And I'm going to record one this afternoon as well now, because I think it's important to really connect with your audience and people get a sense of who you are as a recruiter. It's, you know, we're coming back to branding now and personal branding. So important these days.
It's so important. I think it is very important for recruiters and business leaders in terms of earning trust. But I just think in terms of job seekers, it's absolutely essential. It could be a differentiator. You know, it will be a differentiator. It will make the difference between whether you get a job or not. And I know that that might make people nervous and they might think, oh, my gosh, it's too hard, I won't do it. But if you haven't done it and somebody else does and they just, if you've got communication skills, you know, which everybody does, just make it show, you know, just practice it. And don't use a teleprompter. I've seen some people use a teleprompter. So they filmed it on their iPad and they've downloaded a teleprompter app and they've got the words running across the screen. And the reason why I don't like that is because they just come across as too wooden.
Yep.
So it's okay if you don't say exactly the right words, because it's about how you say them. It's about how you make people feel that really matters.
Agree. And I think, you know, coming back to that point, you know, I'm always preaching to candidates and job seekers, preparation. And I think this is a fantastic start of the process in how they start to articulate their story, potentially to managers and recruiters later on. They have to sit down and think about how they summarize their background, how they're going to put it into a 30-second commercial. So I think it's a really important initial part of the process to get them started on that job-seeking strategy process. And so it's very important for them to do it. And even if you feel a little bit nervous, don't use the whole 30 seconds, but do something.
I think you've just hit the nail on the head. If you do this cover story, it's going to help you in your interviews. It's going to help you when, you know, when you're, you know, if you're at a barbecue and you're meeting somebody face to face for the first time, you know, maybe it's your, I don't know, your best friend's new mate or whatever. And he says, oh, what do you do for work? You know, and you've got your 30 second spit pitch. You don't just, don't say at the barbecue and please connect, you know, please connect with me here on LinkedIn. You know, like you can, if you've just practiced that, it will just, so much more. So I think that's a really great pickup.
And you might not always have a call to action when you're at the barbecue, but So, you know, you play.
Absolutely, you play. Now, another feature, and it's not super new, but I'm getting a really great response from it, is if you've got LinkedIn Premium, mm-hmm. you can, and I'd love to know if this works for LinkedIn Recruiter. I'm not sure if it does, actually. You can set an away message.
Ooh.
Now, you're thinking, yeah, but I'm not away. So why would I set that? So I am changing up my away message with a few different things. I've had a, thanks for messaging me on LinkedIn. I'll respond to you in a couple of days. Meanwhile, here's a quick LinkedIn fact. What I've got on my LinkedIn message at the moment is these are a couple of events that I've got coming up. You know, these are the URLs, and I've just shortened them by dropping them into Bitly.
Right.
So recruiters could think about setting an away message saying, we'll reply soon, upcoming vacancies, and you could just have, you know, just a couple of lines, and you could just link to, like, use a Bitly link, you know, like a shortened URL to a couple of job adverts currently got on. So I think that the opportunity to use that away message more creatively really shows some personality. And again, that could be used for job seekers as well.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Thanks for your message. You know, I'll be getting back to you soon. So any opportunity to add personality, and I'm not talking about being the noisiest person in the room, but just showing who you are and giving value is really important. And I think LinkedIn are giving us greater opportunities to do that.
I agree. And I've never seen that away message. So what's that? Where's that?
The away message? So in your messages tab on desktop. So if you set it on desktop, and it's the in your messages tab, and it's just in the top right. And it's so tiny that so it's in the messages tab.
Okay, good to know.
It's amazing.
See how much I've learned? I've only been speaking to you for 5 minutes and I've really learned so much.
But, you know, you could create, you know, if you've got sort of a couple of job vacancies at the moment, you know, you can just change those Bitly links in there all the time to sort of say, you know, looking for sales professional Bitly link, you know, IT consultant Bitly link, you know, CRM expert Bitly link. And it just means that you're just, if somebody's messaging you, even if they're not right for those jobs, you're just really creating the impression. I'm someone who's got lots of job vacancies on. You can check them out. And you know what? I'm not an IT consultant, but I guarantee I know people who are.
That's right.
So I haven't reached you. I'm going, what's he sent me? And I can see it's an automatic message. Like, it tells you automatic message. Mm-hmm. And I click on those links, I might be able to find somebody that I can refer to you.
Definitely. And it shows that you're embracing the new technology, you're up to speed, you're a player in the marketplace, you know, you're someone to, you know, of trust and value and credibility, all those things. I mean, so much of this, as you mentioned just before, always comes back to branding.
You know, building touch points.
Yep, agree. So all right, well, there's a couple of features, but I'm sure there's many, many more. But if anybody wants to find out more, please talk to Karen. But I want to kind of delve a little bit more into features compared with strategy and behavior in a way. And so I want to take the subject of recruiters and managers first. Where would you say people recruiters and managers are not utilizing LinkedIn to the best of their ability, and what should they be doing more than what you see every day, whether it's features or just behavior or some other functionality? You know, what advice could you give recruiters and managers for how they can better get more leverage out of LinkedIn?
Yeah, we covered so much in the last two episodes, and I think what's changed in the last couple of years, Daz, is that so many more people are creating content.
Mm-hmm.
And that content is so bad. I'm sorry. There is so much bad content on platform. So I think the world has changed from in a really short space of time, perhaps with more people moving from Facebook to LinkedIn. So, you know, LinkedIn in 2020, which was a while ago now, but, you know, in 2020, we saw a 27.5% increase of activity on LinkedIn. I mean, that is massive. Yep. So a lot of people have moved to platform and they're posting all the time. And those posts are not great. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they're not great is because I think more and more people are realizing and seeing LinkedIn as a publishing platform. So mm-hmm. I'm already creating content on Instagram and lots of people are seeing that. I'm already creating content on Facebook, but I've got to pay lots of money for it to go somewhere. Job adverts cost a lot. Yep. If I'm a manager of a business, showing my thought leadership by writing an article and getting it printed in a trade journal costs me a lot because invariably they want to charge me for that, especially yep. if it's some sort of advertorial. But I can take that piece of content and put it on LinkedIn and it doesn't cost me anything. Yes. So I think we've got more people just turning up, standing on their soapbox and talking at us rather mm-hmm. than with us. So what I would love to see is posts that are more around people solving people's problems. So don't tell me you're an expert. Show me you're an expert. You know, if you're a manager of a company and that business is in the, I know you're an IT recruiter. So say they're in the IT industry, yep. talk about technology.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a human resource leader, talk about human resources. If you're a recruiter, give advice to job seekers. If you're a recruiter and you've got lots of candidates, but you want to get more clients, then share tips on how to onboard staff and how do you find talent yourself. And yeah. when you're saying, well, why would I teach my clients how to fish? Because then they won't need me anymore.
True.
I think when you share your tips and you share advice and clients think, oh my gosh, this person is adding so much value to me and I haven't even paid them yet. Imagine how great it would be to work with them.
Absolutely.
You know, and we're also addicted to the news. And I think that's another really interesting statistic that we've seen and studies in Edelman Trust Barometer are really showing that we are now addicted to constantly facts. We're constantly mm-hmm. trying to get more and more information into our brain. Yep. We're hardwired to learn. So if you are giving information and you are sharing knowledge, you are making your content addictive as opposed to this, I'm just going to stand on a platform and talk about how amazing I am. And when I've stopped talking about how amazing I am, then I'm going to ask you how amazing you think I am. Like,
so true. And you know what I love? I love all those posts that always start with, I'm so proud to announce, or, you know,
I'm humbled. I'm humbled. Oh my gosh. I already
start thinking to myself, who cares? What's in it for me?
What's in it for me? I was just going to say that. You know, yeah. we are all in the what's in it for me.
What's
and on social media, that is even more important because we're on social media to feel connected. Yeah. We're on social media, especially LinkedIn, because it's not where we go to be entertained. It's yeah. where we go for business. We're already in a business mindset. So we want to learn. We want to buy, but we don't want to be sold to.
No, and a lot of people are really turning to LinkedIn now more than Facebook and Instagram for quality content, you know, content that can really help them in their day-to-day life or their day-to-day business. Whereas, you know, Facebook and Instagram are great as well, but it, you know, they're a lot of fun and, you know, other little bits and pieces. But people are turning to LinkedIn as their major source of quality content for their day, for their life and work. So as you say, if you give people information that can help them, give them value, give them stuff that's going to fill the void, what's in it for them, they're going to follow you, they're going to comment, they're going to share, they're going to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And they will carry your content, yep. you know. And sometimes I get people say, you know, oh, but what if I, you know, what if I give away my secret sauce? I'm like, nobody has your thousands of hours of experience recruiting people. Nobody has your personality. Nobody has listened to the client like you have. So if you think of yourself as a famous chef and you just give away all your recipes, there are going to be some of those people who are watching every penny. They don't want to spend. They're going to consume all your content. Yep. They're going to comment on everything. They'll be your biggest fan. They'll never come to your restaurant.
Yep. They'll never buy anything. Yep.
But they will tell everybody about you. and they will carry your content. And then you'll get people who just say, oh my gosh, this content's amazing. You know what? I don't have time to read all of this stuff and watch all of these, you know, so many videos, and I don't have time for all of that. I'll just pay you lots of money and you'll just take away the pain.
Absolutely. So it'll far outweigh those few people that are not, that are just going to use the information for their own sake and never actually contribute. And there's only going to be very few of them.
Absolutely, especially as we're also time poor and we're all wanting to engage experts. So show your expertise by giving value. So I think that the biggest thing that people could do in their post is add value, and think about starting your post with a question. So write your post, a post being a piece of content, and then just look at it again and just go, does it start with a question that my audience is wondering? You know, how do I find you know, the right accounting person? You know, start with a question, and it's got to be your client's question. If there isn't a question, then there's actually not a piece of content.
Yep. So I love that. I really love that. If there isn't a question, it's actually not a piece of quality content. I think that is brilliant. Well done. So true. And, you know, I think for people, if they're having trouble finding out what to write about, what, just ask your audience. They'll tell you what they want to hear. What they want to read, what they want to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think that creating content is an act of empathy. And so what I mean by this is I think good content is where you are answering people's questions. So watch your clients very carefully. Listen to them very keenly. And say to them, you know, what have you enjoyed about my service or my practice? You know, was there anything that you found interesting or different? So actually ask for that feedback, and that will do two things. You will have your clients saying, well, what I enjoyed was, which means you're reminding your clients how great you are. And they're reminding themselves. And two, they're giving you content, you know. So every time I'm coaching people on how to use LinkedIn, I'm saying, so everything we covered today, what was most helpful? And people say, oh my gosh, I didn't know I could do that. I'm going, oh really? Okay, that's a piece of content. You know, so actually get in a habit of asking your clients. And if you're a job seeker and you want to showcase your expertise, get in the habit of reading those job adverts and thinking, where's the pain in these job adverts? You know, if there's no pain, there's no job. So what's the pain, and how do I solve that? And think about creating content that answers those questions.
So true, so true. And I think, I suppose, you know, as a person that's really passionate about content myself and social media, I think it's really important for people just to analyze how well your posts are doing as well. If you see that people are viewing and interacting with a certain type of content, you know that's striking a chord. Do more of it. You know, it's quite logical when you think about it. But I think you can't underestimate just asking your audience, as you said.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, so listen keenly, and think about commenting on other people's posts as well. So when you scroll through your newsfeed, and, you know, and I challenge all your listeners to do this now, unless they're listening to this while they're driving the car, in which case don't do that. But, you know, pick up your phone, scroll through your newsfeed, and you'll see very few shared posts. So LinkedIn will encourage you to share posts, but actually sharing doesn't do well. So
I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad you touched on that.
Sharing does not, I wrote an article, sharing is not caring, because LinkedIn is constantly encouraging us to share content, and yet it just does nothing. And scroll through your newsfeed. How many posts are you seeing in your newsfeed that are shared content? And there's hardly any, and yet the majority of people are sharing. So LinkedIn will allow you to share, but it won't put those posts into your newsfeed because it doesn't want people to see, oh, I've already seen that post from somebody else.
Yeah, it
doesn't want to, you know, the moment it does that, you're not going to return to LinkedIn. And its primary objective is to keep you addicted and keep you on platform. So it's not going to regurgitate content. It'll allow you to do it, but it won't put it in many people's newsfeeds.
And so why do you think they allow you to do it in the first place? Is it just to kind of get you used to the platform in a way, or?
I believe that it's because LinkedIn's increasing dollar is coming not from recruiters anymore. It used to be from recruiters, but it's actually coming from advertisers and marketers. Yep. So that's their biggest market share. Mm-hmm. So I believe that it wants everybody sharing content and going, this sounds great, but I'm not actually getting the reach. And yet everybody's telling me that they're getting reach on LinkedIn. And so why am I not getting reach? And I had this budget from Facebook. I might as well put it on LinkedIn. Yes. So it wants people to pay for advertised promoted posts, but you don't need to do that. Just stop sharing and start commenting. Yes. So when you scroll through your newsfeed, you'll see at the top of some of your posts, you'll see so-and-so commented on this. Mm-hmm. So the very act of commenting on something means that you just blip across somebody's horizon for a millisecond, you know, because your name's at the top of a post, you commented on this, and that person happens to be connected or whatever. So commenting is really important. And if you've got a really great professional headline, which we've covered in one of your other episodes, the bit that sits underneath your name, if you've got a headline that talks to the problems you solve and who you solve them for, then every time you comment, your comment is also an advertisement for who you are.
Because people already read, that's what this person does.
Absolutely. So make sure that you're actively commenting. Yep. And I think that everybody should be using sort of a 9-to-1 ratio of commenting on 9 posts before you publish your own post.
Wow. Now that,
I really believe in a 9-to-1. And I believe in a 9-to-1 for two reasons. So one, I am really lucky because I've been posting content now since 2014. Pre-2014, you had to be famous or be an influencer in order to publish content. I wasn't either then. So I was like really average person. So 2014, I started creating content. So I've been creating content for years and years and years now. And so I've had some people who have liked and commented on so many of my posts that every time I see their posts, just without thinking, I can't help myself but like and comment on it, because it's the law of reciprocity.
Exactly.
So if you give to others, it'll come back to you. But also I've noticed since mid-2018, actually, that when you are commenting on other people's posts, I think that LinkedIn changed the algorithm in 2018 and it changed a few things about then. I don't know if you remember that. It was going back a while, wasn't it? But when you were commenting on other people's posts, your posts go further.
Kind of makes sense, because you're building your audience, you're building your community to then receive what you have to say. It's kind of logical in a way.
Yeah. And LinkedIn's algorithms, so the algorithm being what determines what goes in somebody's newsfeed and what doesn't, the people who design that are humans, behavioral scientists. So LinkedIn has human behavioral scientists, and it knows that people who give are more likely to get. So it knows that if you've commented on a lot of people's posts, you're more likely to get attention on your post. It doesn't want to put a post in the newsfeed that is just somebody who's just me all the time. Yep. And they never give to others, because those posts are not going to do well. Yep. And so it's in LinkedIn's best interest to give people that they like.
So true. And I suppose while we're talking about content, I mean, what always comes to mind and what people are thinking and going to ask now is, what form of content does better now? Is it video? Is it text? Is it graphic? Because everybody's always got a different opinion.
Yeah. And everybody's got a different opinion, and everybody says it's short form posts, because most people are comparing an apple with an orange and a banana and thinking they're all one and the same thing. So just to debunk something that a lot of people don't realize is that a view of a post is different from a view of an article, and it's different from a view of a video.
Right.
So a view of a post is not really a view, although we're getting closer to it. So we're seeing that the algorithms changing constantly, and it's getting closer. But a view of a post, just a whole load of words, might have a picture with it, might have a document or not, scrolled past that while they were on the news feed.
Right.
Or somebody was somebody put a post up, and it was on their phone when they opened up their phone. So it doesn't actually mean that people have read it. So a view of a post is not a true view. It's an impression.
A quality view.
Yeah, it's not a quality view. It's really an impression.
Yep.
A view of an article is somebody has actually opened that article. So that's a true view. So articles don't seem to do very well, but they're a true view. Ah. A view of a video is somebody has watched that video for 3 seconds or longer. So again, they've got to have clicked on it and it's got to have played for longer than 3 seconds.
Gotcha.
So it looks like videos don't do very well, but actually you're comparing an apple with a banana. They're not the same metric.
So the devil is in the details and in the metrics, really.
Yes.
Fascinating.
It is. So you're not comparing the same thing. So you can't really say one does better than another because they are all quite different. Personally, even though my views on my articles have been dropping significantly, and I'm one of the few globally who has the newsletter feature, which means that every time I publish an article, I'm able to notify. It automatically notifies. I can't switch it off because I've signed up for this feature. It notifies 15,000 people that I've just published an article.
Wow.
So views of my articles are dropping. However, I do feel that an article that's got a really great post attached to it is a great piece of content because whenever I release an article, I invariably pick up clients from it. And I believe that's because it takes real thoughtfulness to craft something that's, you know, 600-800 words long. And my articles are typically 800 to 1,200. So I think videos are really great. Everybody loves to see people and it's important to do video. It's important to develop trust. You must do video. But articles really show
your expertise.
Thought leadership. You can really show expertise. You can really thrash a topic out in an article.
Yeah, nice. And so I think really good point. I think it's important to do everything because you never know who likes what, but really important point that the devil is in the actual details of the views. So it's not, you can't compare one to another that easily. So just important to create content that are going to resonate with your audience and give them a bit of variety.
Yeah. And variety is really important because if I only ever, hear you on a podcast, so one of the reasons why I love being on your podcast, aside from the fact that you ask amazing questions and you really, you really actually go deeper with things. But also it's because I've met you face to face. So I know your energy. I know you. So we need to see people in different settings in order to really feel like we know them. Now, we can't always meet people face to face, but it's not enough to just have an article or just have written words. You need to have a video so that you can see somebody.
Yeah.
And then it's good to also, if you can, do a podcast and do it on video. Do a webinar and show your video while you're on webinar, please. Yep. So I think if you can turn up in a couple of different ways to people, then even if they're following you for years, they're getting to know you in different ways. Yep. So it's not just about what people like, but I think it's as if you've just met them at a pub and then you bumped into them at the shops and then you saw them at your mum's house. You know what I mean?
It's you're giving like people more of a holistic impression of who you really are.
See, you sum up my words so well, Dad. Sum up my words so well. That's what I meant to say.
I love it. That's so true. And I think, that's such an important point. We're talking about recruiters and jobs and hiring managers using LinkedIn as a marketing platform, as a branding platform, as a content platform that's giving value to their audience and helping to create a further audience. So more than just punching out job posts and job ads and that kind of stuff. So I think really important, points of discussion. And I think, recruiters and hiring managers should really be thinking about LinkedIn as a content platform more than just what it might have been years ago, just a place to find people or a place to, thrash out job ads.
Absolutely.
You still do a little bit, but you've got to balance it.
You've got to balance it. And also let's not forget the direct messaging. Yep. It's people that make a difference, So one a new feature that we didn't touch on that everybody was so excited about is content creator or creator mode.
Yeah.
And the problem with creator mode is that, one, there's a lot of misinformation. So people think that everybody's going to get creator mode. And actually, if you read the small print in LinkedIn, not everyone's going to get it. It does say that it's by application and you can't apply for it. You just have to see if they're going to give it to you. So if you create content often enough, then LinkedIn will give you creator mode. Is creator mode amazing?
And, what actually is it? What is this creator mode?
So creator mode, it just, you've got to upload three hashtags, a minimum three hashtags that you're following, that you talk about. And it moves your featured section further up your profile. All of the bits in your profile, such as how many people are following you, it moves that up.
Right.
So it just reconfigures your profile so that you, you are seen as a content creator, you are seen as a thought leader. Mm-hmm. It also switches your connect button to follow. So instead
I read that.
Yeah, so instead of people being able to reach out and connect to you, they can only reach out and follow you unless they click on the more button. And then if they do that, they click on the more button and go and send you an invite to connect. LinkedIn comes up with a very unfriendly note saying, this person prefers to be followed. Do you actually know them?
Ah.
Or do you really know them? So it's really discouraging people from connecting with you. So that means that you'll get more followers, but you'll get less connections.
Mm-hmm.
So this feeds that dopamine, that narcissism. Oh, I must be doing really well on LinkedIn because I've got so many followers. Yeah, but you can't direct message them.
That's right. So and for recruiters, that's not really the best thing.
No, because the moment you send an email about a job, you know that those emails don't always get read. That people see them as spam.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can direct message somebody, if you're connected to them, they're more likely to see your post. So I'm following people on LinkedIn who I'm not connected to, and I almost never see their posts in my newsfeed. If you are connected to somebody, you are more likely to see their posts.
Fascinating.
So they won't see your content. They're significantly less likely to see your content. You can't direct message them and they don't feel like they're connected to you. So it's so it's really important to think very seriously about whether you want to have creator mode on. I have it on, but only because I there's not a lot of LinkedIn profile writers on platform. And I used to get an average, of 100 to 150 people from the US a week reaching out to connect with me. So, and that's not my market. I actually don't connect with people globally because I don't work globally. So for me, I've got that follow first is up. And then I look at who's looked at my profile and then I send those people invites to connect when they've looked at my profile. So I've already got an outreach program that's around who's looked at my profile, not who's sent me an invite to connect. But you have to think about being accessible to people. I think most people have to think about being accessible to people and building relationships in direct messaging. So don't just turn up and create content. Don't just comment on other people's posts, but acknowledge that as a job seeker or as a recruiter, when you send an email, that email invariably is seen as a chore. We all have lost our excitement over the decades with email. And we get an email, we're like, oh, it's another chore, you know? But you open up your inbox on social media and, oh, somebody's talking to me. You feel excited. It's a true. Different emotion and you haven't got a gatekeeper there.
So true.
If you're a job seeker, you haven't got the CEO's secretary, typically, is not checking his LinkedIn or her LinkedIn. She's checking it herself.
Yep.
So you've got direct access to people. So it's really important that you don't abuse that. Don't spam people.
And I was just about to say, a really good point is I would much rather people use, personalized emails than all these automated bulk emails. Because to me, that's just, negating the whole purpose behind the whole thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it is so important that they do look personalized. And bots automation is against LinkedIn's user terms. Mm-hmm. There are a few certainties in life, death and taxes, they say. Death, taxes, and the fact that you will be kicked off LinkedIn if you use automation. It right. will happen.
Find you.
Yeah, they will find you. So I can absolutely guarantee it. So, you know, there was some people I knew of many, many years ago who had, it was some guy, Josh, and he had like 70,000 connections on LinkedIn, 70,000 followers, sorry, because you don't have more than 30,000. So had 70,000 followers, completely lost his account because of automation. Gone, wasn't able to get it back.
That's years and years of hard work.
And as a recruiter, that's actually an asset. So your database, your network is an asset. It's something you can actually sell
absolutely.
As part of your assets.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so you don't want to be losing your LinkedIn license. So don't use automation. It's also against LinkedIn's user terms to use a VA. However, it is harder to pick up.
Yeah.
So you could think about using a VA. Just make sure that your VA is personalizing those messages, that it's not just a cut, paste, cut, paste, cut, paste, but make sure that they are tweaking it to the individual. So you could think about, and you don't want to use this all the time, but you could think about, I've just created, I know you're on my database as a job seeker. We haven't spoken for a while and I'm sorry for this. And this is why you want to be doing it yourself as much as possible, or a VA who works really closely with you. We haven't spoken for a little while, but I've just created an article that just shares some interview tips for remote working. And I hope it might be helpful for you. You know, cut, paste. So it is a bit of a template, but you could do something like that and message content out to people. And it shouldn't just be your own content. It could be I've just heard a podcast from Darren Soule and it was amazing. And I think you could benefit from it. Copy the link, send it to somebody in a LinkedIn message. Because if you've taken the time to listen to a podcast and then you've sent it to somebody.
It's such an incredible relationship building activity.
Yes, it's giving value. So a little bit like the content tips, don't just turn up and make it all about you.
Yeah.
Think about what can I give, and think about it as not just a publishing platform, but a relationship management platform.
Yep. So true. So true. So important. I think more and more, you know, we're going to see content being the driving force on LinkedIn. And I think for recruiters and hiring managers, it's something that they really have to embrace and continue to evolve, because content evolves as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But don't fail to direct message people.
Use direct messaging.
Yeah, you know, relationships are built up one message at a time, you know. What is it they say? Relationships are built one sentence at a time. And I think just messages are so important.
Absolutely.
And not a, hi, how are you going? Or what project are you working on at the moment? Please don't send those messages, because they just feel canned and cliched. I just created a quick video and I thought it might be helpful for you.
Yep.
Leave people a voice note.
Give people some substance. Otherwise it's like, why bother?
Yes, give people some substance, but also don't feel that you need to give like loads of substance. So something that I'll do if I haven't got a strong pipeline of work is I will download all of my contacts on LinkedIn and I'll print it off. I know that's not great for the trees, but I do. I print it off and I get out my highlighter and then I sit there with my mobile phone and I type in the person's name. I go to messages, bottom right-hand corner. I click on that microphone button.
Yep.
And I leave people a one-way message that doesn't require an answer.
Nice.
So something like, you know, hey, we haven't spoken for a while. I just wanted to reach out and see how you're going. I know things have been a bit crazy in the world at the moment. Just hope that you're all right and that you're staying well. So and don't forget to say their name. Don't say, hey, you know, you got to say, you know, hi, Darren, so that they know that it's not a,
you know, some kind of automated.
Yeah, because that's icky, you know. So I hate it when I get those videos and it's so obvious that they're just automated videos that they've done for everybody.
Yep.
When it's done specifically for me, and it's even when it's not perfect, you know, when I can hear a dog in the background. Or
even better. It's actually even better that way.
Yeah, you know, I had one of my children interrupt me and I thought, oh, I could re-record this. It was this great big bang. And I was like, oh, sorry, it was just my daughter shutting the car door. No, you know, and so.
Beautiful.
And
I love that.
Yeah, people love that imperfection. So,
so true. Awesome. So that kind of takes care of recruiters and hiring managers, but I want to give the poor job seekers out there some value as well, because, you know, it's such an important market, and, you know, job seekers are on LinkedIn all the time, more and more. It's become such an important platform for job seekers. What can job seekers do, or what can they do differently, do you think, to really give them an edge? Is there anything that
I think, you can think of? I think voice messages, like we were just saying, I don't think that voice messages should just be used for those who are promoting their thought leadership or trying to sell. I think as a job seeker, it is so important to use voice message. And I think it's important to use voice message because when you're direct messaging somebody and you're writing down, I'm currently looking for a job and I wonder if you know of anything. When you write that down, it actually, even as a non-job seeker myself, it just makes me feel a bit as I'm saying it. You know, I just think, oh, it's putting myself in a position of lower, and it doesn't feel great and it doesn't read well. So you could think about downloading all of your contacts on LinkedIn and printing them off, or save it to a CVS file, like it'll automatically come up as a CVS file, save it to an Excel spreadsheet, sort it by all the companies, and then think, who do I want to work for? And then be very targeted in leaving voice messages for people. Start with the companies you don't want to work for. And I know that sounds really weird, but you want to get into the
practice.
Mode of practice.
Get in the reps.
You read my mind. I swear we are connected. Absolutely. You want to practice on the companies that you least want to work for that by the time you're leaving those voice messages for the companies you really want to work for, it sounds really authentic. So for job seekers, when you're leaving that voice message, take a deep breath in. I prefer to do it standing up so that your voice is just much calmer. So stand up. Take a deep breath in, click record. So press that. So in messages tab, you've got a little microphone, click on the microphone, and then you've got a blue button appear. Just to press that blue button. If suddenly your children start screaming at each other, and that's not quite so cute, I know what that's like. Just swipe your thumb to the left and it will delete that message. But depress that message. Keep an eye on the timer so you don't overtalk, because I do that too sometimes. I'm like, when did it stop recording? So keep an eye on the timer. Take a deep breath in and speak on the out breath. And you want to do that so that the first thing somebody hears is not you going, that just sounds creepy and weird. So take a deep
underwater.
Take a deep breath in, speak on the out breath. Hi, Fred. It's been ages since we spoke. I hope you're keeping really well. Look, I just wanted to reach out because, gosh, quite a lot's happened in my life, actually. I'm in between roles at the moment. I've got a bit of time on my hands. So, look, if you're ever up for a virtual chat, or, you know, you want to catch up for a coffee sometime, reach out, let me know. So that'd be great. Thanks a lot. Hope you keep
beautiful.
Well.
I love that. And you know what? You made me just think about something. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? What about if job seekers used video in that same way and send personalized video messages, or they even used video content as posts to say, this is me, I'm in between jobs, this is what I'm looking for. Do you think that would work well?
I think it could work well. I wouldn't use posts because I don't like posts where it's, hey, I'm looking for a job.
Okay.
I like it when it's, you know, I got a bit of time on my hands because, you know, I'm in between roles at the moment. You know, so it's
positioning. It's the positioning.
Yeah, it's the positioning. And it's, you really want that power to be equal. You don't want to put yourself less. I'm looking for anything that requires somebody to say no means you're giving over your power. And that doesn't feel great to you, and it won't feel great to the other person.
Good point.
And so video, I don't do video because my hair doesn't usually look as good as it looks today. sorry, good. Woke up today, good hair, such a rainbow.
Me too.
I know. Yeah, it happened to you, Darren. For listeners, Darren doesn't have a lot of hair.
Yes, so, shaved it all off.
For me, video, am I having a good day? Am I having a bad day? Also, when I receive videos, and I do receive quite a lot of videos actually from LinkedIn trainers that I talk to in the US, I have to stop and watch it. Mm-hmm. And I'm somebody who really struggles to sit and watch. I'm either reading, skimming, learning, moving. And so I go, oh my gosh, you know, one of my favorite LinkedIn trainers in the UK has just left me a voice message. I will listen to that while I'm walking to the kettle.
Yep. It's so true. Perfect.
You know, so I can multitask it.
Gotcha.
And also what I think is really important, and the reason why I would do it in a, why I think job seekers should be leaving voice messages, is because when you read something, it doesn't have tone. When you read, I'm in between jobs at the moment, let me know if you've ever got time for a coffee, you're like, oh, he wants a piece of me, and you know, he wants to catch up, and I don't know if I've got time. But when you hear that, and you've got to say it with a smile in your voice, you've got to say the whole, got a bit of time on my hands at the moment in between jobs, look, let me know if you're ever up for coffee.
And it's casual, it's not you know, it's not desperate in a way, it's casual.
Yeah, so you've got to master that tone. Yep. And you can put so much more emotion in your voice than you ever can in written. And so when you've got it on video, you are conscious of how you're sounding, you're conscious of how you're looking, you're conscious of how it's being received. And it's just, I wouldn't do that. Instead, you know, actually, when I'm doing my voice messages, I will frequently close my eyes. And I know that sounds so weird, but I'll close my eyes so that I'm just channeling everything through my voice.
So true. And people, you know, and singers do that. When they sing, they close their eyes.
I'm no singer, Daz.
Maybe you have hidden talents, Karen.
But it's just about conveying that emotion through your voice. And you really want to really dial up that emotion around hope, optimism, casual ask for a coffee. Yeah. You know, you really want to dial it up. And I've read that voice is one of the most trusted mediums. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading that and just thinking, that is so weird. Like, hello, of course it's video. Of course it's video.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Somebody, you trust them, right? And so I just thought, this article is just rubbish. Like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, I know it's saying that, you know, we trust GPS, we trust Google Assistant, we trust Siri, and so voice is the most trusted. I'm like, but I trust what I can see. And then I'm watching Avatar, you know, the movie Avatar with my kid.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, doesn't this look incredible? Like, you know what, girl? This is not real. And they just look at me and go, yeah, Duma.
Kind of challenging that thought that there's no one way to do things. I think it's important to really think about all the different mediums out there, give people variety, and also do what works for you and do what works for your audience.
But push yourself out of your boundaries a bit, you know. Yep. Think about creating content. Think about leaving voice messages. So yes, I agree with you. There's no one size fits all. You've got to find a strategy that fits for you. But if there's not any slight discomfort, there's not growth. So if something feels slightly uncomfortable for you, then just think, is it uncomfortable because it's not me and it's not my market, or is it just uncomfortable because it's new and I've never done it before? And for most of us, it's that I've not done it before. So
if it's slightly
uncomfortable, lean into it.
Definitely, because everything's an opportunity. Think of everything as an opportunity, and LinkedIn's got so many new features. Look how many new opportunities you have to build brand, connect with people, build credibility, build trust, and build your business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And be proactive. You know, I think it's really important for recruiters and job seekers, of course, to be proactive, you know, for 100%. Both of them. You know, nothing's going to happen if you stay the same.
100%. Well, Karen, thank you so much. We've just covered a hell of a lot of ground. I hope we've given job seekers and recruiters and hiring managers some insights into what they can do, because there's so much more. But really appreciate, you know, and the amazing value that you always bring to these episodes. And I think, you know, when it comes to LinkedIn, you are number one. So anybody that's wanting to know more about LinkedIn, how they can use it, talk to Karen. But before we go, I just want to give you an opportunity to tell us how we find you.
Well, you know, something else has happened.
On LinkedIn.
For me. Yes, you can find me on LinkedIn, Karen Tisdell, which is, I've got a really bad spelling of my last name. In LinkedIn and click that follow button. If you look at my profile, then I'll know that you've looked at me. And then if you're in Australia, I can reach out and send you an invite to connect. But also, Darren, I've got a website now. It's only taken me 12 and a Did you not give me a hard time about that a couple of years ago? Like, how could you not have a website and get all this business? And I got it all through LinkedIn, but I have finally got a website, and it's just www.karentisdale.com. So yeah, nice and simple. I've finally got a website.
It looks great.
Did you? Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well done. So, yeah, definitely anybody out there wanting to know more, go to Karen's website, karentisdale.com, or find her on LinkedIn, follow her, connect with her, whatever you like to do. But she is a wealth of information when it comes to LinkedIn, and look how much value she just brought our listeners and our viewers today.
But, even more thanks to you. You had lots of great value bombs there. So I think we're a great team.
Absolutely. And I look forward to our next episode, because, you know, LinkedIn's going to change again, and I'm going to need you to come and tell our audience what else is new. But really appreciate it. And I always like to give my guests the last word. So is there anything that you want to leave us with today? Just anything about LinkedIn, that's something that's new, something that, you know, is on your mind at the moment?
Just to be brave. I think just running with that idea that if something feels slightly uncomfortable, just give it a go. And think about giving. You know, I just want to go back to that 9-1 ratio. Don't just turn up, post content, take the time to comment on other people's posts. A job seeker or recruiter, that will pull more attention to your profile.
So true. Well, everybody out there, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I hope you learned as much as I did. Karen, once again, thank you so much for coming on the show. You'll definitely be back. And everybody have a fantastic day, and we'll see you very, very soon for another episode. Bye for now.